is time for the Miami Heat audio experience. Thought we'd bring a little lights on. Victor Oladipo right here to start us off. The Heat is on the radio. We have two albums from Victor, people. Lock it in with Jonathan Zaslow, Tommy Tiger, Ruth Riley Hunter. I am Jason Jackson. Tonight features a game of winners tonight. Miami has won six of its last seven games, looking for a third straight win. Houston on the other end of the winning spectrum, but winners last night. They snapped a 12-game losing streak against the hot Memphis Grizzlies. The Rockets had dropped 16 of 17. Time for the whip before the tip up first. Truth time, so it's roof time.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice. The world's only 12-hour strong man on the air. Here on We Love Radio, 108 FM. The last on your dial, but first in your hearts. And that's the truth, Root. Here I am. Am I here? You know it. It, you know. This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy doing the nasty to your ears to the nasty. Eyes only play the platters that matter, the matters they platter. And that's the Taruk Root.
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
It's another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. Here at the Athletic, David Aldridge in cold D.C. It's cold again. It was 70 yesterday. It's like 30 today. In the Bay, Marcus Thompson. What is up, Marcus?
Oh, man. We in these streets, man. We chilling. It's sunny. You know, it's nice. It's not. It's 70, and it won't be 30 tomorrow.
Exactly. And somewhere, because he's a good dude, somewhere pulled over on the side of the road in Florida is our man, Jason Todd Jackson, back with us today. What's up, Jackson?
Sounds so Florida, doesn't it? I feel like I just pulled off on the side of the road trying to avoid havoc.
Just looking at some palm trees and some Bay Area activities.
You left out the part that he owns the road that he pulled over on.
Don't we all, Marcus, here in the great state of Florida, where we all participate in no income tax, but we will beat you over the head on the streets.
All right. So, Jason, the play-by-play voice of the Miami Heat. I just love saying that. I love saying
my
that.
My man.
It's so awesome. How much fun has it been this year?
First of all, I'm one of many the Miami Heat have. We will not have Jose Pineda and Eric Reed all upset about your market. But it has been fantastic. But first of all, to have spent 17 years in the same organization doing the same thing that I did the previous 10 years before I got there, hosting and anchoring and reporting, and then to make that shift was not anticipated. Mike Inglis, who had been the radio voice of the Heat for 23 years, decided it was time. And yeah, it's always best to decide that yourself. That's like, right. I'm going to learn from Mike. I know the day to day. I'm not telling anybody, but I know what it is. Hopefully it's before any time that they want me out. But let us know a little late. And my gut feeling was initially, DA, that we would go the route that a bunch of teams had gone this year, mostly because of COVID, but maybe a little simulcast and then do a national search and what have you. Man, 12 hours later, I got a call from my boss and our department head, and they said, hey, come on in. What do you think about this? And I think I thought about it for 7 nanoseconds, and I was in. It's funny because I grew up loving play-by-play through radio. As you know, and tell everybody else, I'm a huge baseball fan, a big Reds fan. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just being on the move or being an old soul, I just listen to more games on radio than television and coming up. And so just the concept of painting those pictures were always something I enjoyed. I just had a career in television. And so it just went down that path. And while doing a lot of talk hosting, I'd never called games, not on a regular basis. Probably called in my time at ESPN one college basketball game in those 7 years. And then with the Heat, probably a handful to a half dozen games just filling in over the years. So to make it
the everyday thing of preparing for both the teams with the spot boards and storylines and having an analyst at home, not having one on the road and balancing all that out. It's definitely been something else. I tell you this, it's not simple at 49 7/8 to develop a new skill set. You do have kind of a way that you go about things. So it's definitely, you know, just getting the game plan together for how to attack each day took a little bit. It was definitely the first season in my now 25 years covering the league that I was so fired up for preseason games because I needed them just to get a rhythm. But
yeah,
man, games go, like, they just move faster when you're calling it. And I'm having a complete ball, and then add in the fact that the Miami Heat are rolling, and it makes everything awesome.
I just presumed that Kyle Lowry came and said, "Hey, I want you as the play-by-play guy."
You know what I'm saying?
And made it happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I figured.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Hoop.
Comma is
adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs, like the bolting and braggadocio. I was transported right back into it. I was like, "Oh, this is great."
I think I rap better than Shaq.
With David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes. And then he got their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping enough.
And Marcus Thompson.
I just can't get with this idea of taking 1 hour of content and finding the morsel that might pop and blowing at him.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoop 5-4. We have ignition.
And it is another edition of Hoops Adjacent.
The comma is
David Aldridge.
What's up, sir? How are you on this wonderful debut?
How different is it? How different is it? Is just watching the game, like, does it change?
It changed. Well, first of all, I spent all the years getting my eye off the ball and watching other stuff, and now I have to stay on it. Like, I mean, just, you know, exclusively, or you miss something. The thing that I didn't realize as much, even though I'm sitting there every night courtside, locked into the game, is with radio, you're literally painting the picture for every second, right? Every half second. So I never stop talking, which I thought would be fun, but it is something else.
Three Heat jerseys around, including New York 7 that deflected that one away, if not a full block. Now in the hands of Kyle Guy. Fires a three, top of the arc, doesn't go, gets his own offensive rebound, leaves it for Yurt, puts it up, it gets knocked away. And it's Houston ball for reasons I don't understand.
Two Houston players knocked that ball out.
As I mentioned earlier, yeah, road games, I'm by myself. And so it's even more so, like, it just doesn't stop. I do have at least some appreciation for the showmanship and the show biz of it. So I'm not going to say I've mastered anything. I've definitely gotten into the layout. Like, sometimes you just got to let the arena talk for a second. You know, for instance, Oladipo's first game last night, as we taped this, when he was coming, I'm glad Ruth Riley Hunter's my broadcast partner, both
right
for pre and post game on television and then during home games on the radio. And she pointed to my left, which caught my eye on Oladipo about to check in. And it just flicked in my mind, man, the second that buzzer sounds, Michael Biamonte, who's the in-arena announcer, the PA announcer for the Miami Heat, he's going to let this one rip. And there's a potential that the fans are going to get on their feet. Man, it happened exactly that way.
Rockets with the lead. And the folks are already fired up because there's a guy wearing a Fortis jersey who's about to check in. His name is Victor Oladipo. Here's a 1-4. He kicks it to the corner, gets knocked away. So let's listen to it. Nice job out of Heat Nation welcoming Victor Oladipo back to the floor almost a year. And only four games into his history, he was injured. He got the ball to Tyler Hero, who tried to fire it up left side for a three at the buzzer there, but it was not in time, did not go. Here's Sengun on the other end. Get into Victor in a little bit. He moves that ball, got it to Martin, but that thing will be wiped off as guess who? Victor Oladipo stands in with that culture dripping off that red jersey for a charge taken. Put one in the book for Oladipo.
You know, clear and locked in to the theatrics of it, to the real nuts and bolts mechanism of how a game works. Stuff that I never thought about, how the clock changes when Turner and one of the Disney networks are in the building.
Right.
Is highly impactful to how we go about everything we do. Producers aplenty on the television side. On the radio side, that's kind of on you and the crew. Like, you got to figure that stuff out. But what I really love the most is just being woven into the fabric and history of the team now in a way that you don't even really think about until you start hearing these moments roll out and your voice is attached to it.
So to recall when something big happens, that's just like when LeBron did it. That's just like when Dwayne did it. That must help you immensely as you go through a broadcast because there's just so much institutional knowledge that you've built up over the years.
That's the great part about being around a long time for a young franchise. As history is happening, you have proper context, right? As Duncan Robinson is shooting up the all-time three-point list for the Heat in a meteoric way, everybody that he's passed, I've had some sort of touch to. Maybe I wasn't covering the team at the time, but I was either in town at the Fox affiliate during the early stages of the Tim and Zoe era, or as the Glenn Rice era was ending, or got back just in time before Eddie Jones was in the deal for the next layer for the championship edition of the 06 team. But there's just a fabric that you're touching every single time, and context is lost sometimes. Obviously, when you're talking about 75 years of history versus 35 years of history, and so you can kind of keep everything right in your mind. And then, as you just noted, for damn near 3/4 of that time, I'm right there watching everything happen. That's what I think is most neat for the guys I mentioned a little bit earlier. Eric Reed and Jose Pineda have been around for every bleeping game in the history of the team. And that's just, I don't care if your team's 10 years old. That just doesn't tend to be the way it works in our business. So their tapestry and intensity, it fuels even mine. And those guys have been doing it a hell of a lot longer than I have.
When you look at, obviously Kyle Lowry is great. Jimmy Butler's great. And Bam is, Bam. But it feels like Miami is a collection of unsung heroes, right? Like, they just always have a guy who's doing something where you're like, yo, who is that guy? And why is he that good? And one of those guys that stands out to me is Gabe Vincent. Like, I'm curious how much I hadn't seen him. The first time I saw Gabe was during the national team. He's playing for Nigeria. And he's playing with Mike Brown. It's like, hey, man, this dude is nice. Who's he play for? It's like, he plays for Miami. He's like, oh, really? I've never seen him before. But now he's turned into, like, this really good player. I wonder how much, like, his growth and his development, how much of this was predictable? How much of this was benefited from his time playing with the Nigerian national team? It's just like, where does he come from, man? This dude is clutch. He plays defense. He's shooting 57% true shooting. Like, just out of nowhere. Spo just finds these guys. It's crazy.
It's the organization's way, man. Like, even before, before G League, Pat Riley's concept of making sure that there was a guy or two that you're developing, as well as obviously the frontline guys. Like, don't make those last two seats nothingness. Make those guys that eventually are going to make their way. And that position is so interesting. That undrafted, not knowing if you're in the rotation, out of the rotation, or you may have to start tonight. Like,
think about the mental gymnastics you have to have. First of all, you have to have confidence to believe that you can get there, right?
Yep.
Then when you do, realizing that what's happening to Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, like as we speak, that we're going to need you to do all this stuff, right? First of all, get really good, right? Like just do everything we ask of you in the summer, in the extra development work before practice, after practice, shoot arounds, the whole bit. And we'll let you know what your role is, right?
Yeah.
Like managing those expectations in that space, I think he is actually supposed one of his many, but a true gift in that space, because then you turn to them and say, and oh, by the way, the second this accomplished all-star by the name of Victor Oladipo is ready to go, which he was on Monday night of this week, your minutes might evaporate in front of your eyes.
Right.
Cool. And I think when you have that ability to understand that you're a part of something that could be massive, right? The only reason Kyle Lowry, at least the one he provides, said that he signed with the Miami Heat was to win a championship, right? And now, like, no one is mentioning those words anymore. And what that can mean for you in the long term when you're a part of an organization like this, even if you're staying here, if you parlay that into somewhere else, is monumental in this financial era of this league. I mean, you just sign a run of the mill. What is run of the mill money now? $90 million.
Right.
Right. So like to buy in to what this team has done and now continues to do and has, by the way, put this name in your mouth because it'll be the name that will be next. Haywood Highsmith, who just, you know, got the last deal available for the Heat's, 17-man roster. It's amazing. And so, like, add on the fact that you now can go Tyler Johnson, Derek Jones, Duncan Robinson, Strus, and Vincent, and now keep an eye on, you know, Kyle Guy and Javonte Smart, and now this young man. Nice, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot your seven, by the way. Just jumped in when the team needed it and just was a double-double monster out of the blue.
Now that one I knew. That one I had seen him
play. He's a monster.
You saw that stuff.
Yeah.
And Kendrick Nunn.
I like, saw him
forget
play.
Kendrick Nunn. He's only just been hurt all year. But it's just now there's just this tapestry of the reason why Caleb Martin took a two-way deal instead of a free agent deal was because of what that development program potentially could do. And what it's done, getting back to Gabe specifically, is said to that man, okay, you're going to come in. Okay, what's your reputation? You're a scorer. Cool, we're going to turn you into a point guard. And by the way, you still may have to score sometimes. But we're going to develop this other space, elevate your defense to a place that's never been before. And by the way, you might have an opportunity to start a boatload of games, which he's up to 20 already on the season, but now out of the rotation. So who knows what's coming? The mentality that he's embraced that helped him with the Nigerian national team, it's helping him grow in this second year with the Heat, is accepting that there is a part to play. That part may change, but always as the captain, as we call him around here, Udonis Athens says, stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
It's just remarkable to me. And Jax, we hear about the development part of the Heat all the time, but who is that? It's Spo, obviously. It's Riles. Mm-hmm. It's obviously Andy Ellisberg. But who is that on the ground getting these players better year after year after year? And I know they've had some turnover in their staff, obviously. But who does it now? And what's the mandate that they get from management and ownership?
First of all, from the identification standpoint, add Adam Simon.
Yes.
Keith Askins.
Right.
I would go on and on. The litany of individuals that are identifying and acquiring the individual. Then they get in, and it's a program that's now led by Chris Quinn, had it for a while. All right,
yeah.
Assistant coach. And he is probably at this point of the front bench guys, which it's him, Caron Butler, and Malik Allen. I would say the loudest voice because of time spent is Quinny. And Quinny actually played for Spo. Spo was an assistant coach with the other two guys. But that's another thing, right? Like, Anthony Carter, who has a great deal of the load, right? Chris Quinn, Caron Butler, and Malik Allen. They're every day right there by Spo's side.
Right.
Right? That all played in the organization for either Pat Stan or Spo or a combination. And like, it's not an explanation of what this is, right? There's no learning curve. You just hit the ground knowing exactly how it gets down. So that's the top layer. But anyway, so a combination of Eric Glass, who was a G League head coach after being the video coordinator that made his way back, AC, I would say Octavio De La Grana, who was, I mean, just one of the great high school coaches in Florida, based out of Miami. And it was seen some time ago, man, maybe 15 years ago. One of his great attributes was mentoring both players and coaches. And so they brought him into the organization, and he's just one of the names you don't hear a great deal of. But, man, he's like the Yoda of the crew.
Right.
Like, just in everybody's, including the head coaches. Elevating and mentoring, finding spots where he can, you know, just make sure people's minds and bodies are right. Let me tell you something. When you watch Tyler Hero get to spots where he wants to be, and that handles yo-yo-ish right now.
Yeah.
Octavio De La Grana. So while I want to give you like a tapestry of some sort of flow chart, man, everybody's got their fingerprints on it, man. Even Spo still gets in there with some pads and hitting dudes, you know, just feel it. But like, but Malik Allen has like Yurt Seven, you know, in the lab every day. Yeah. He took over the handoff from Juwan in making sure Bam. Like, have you seen some of Bam's stuff lately?
Right.
These counter moves, these shows and goes, these up and unders, man. This wet jumper anywhere in the circle. Like, man, everybody has their fingerprints on it, which is probably why so many guys have elevated and got their paper straight, either with the Heat or elsewhere.
It's unbelievable. I shouldn't say it's unbelievable. It is quite believable.
Adebayo, Lowry, Hero, Martin, and Oladipo. Wamba, Nix, Martin, Christopher, Matthews on the floor. Right baseline drive by Martin. Flips it to Bam. Bam loses the ball, but then gets it back. Oladipo, left arc, gets it back to Bam. As Matthews, overmatched and oversized, trying to stay in there. And Bam takes utter advantage.
Not the prettiest possession, but if you guys.
Well, let's talk about this year's team, man, and just you know, the alchemy again at the top of it with Kyle and with Jimmy and even with Kyle being out as much as he's been out. I mean, I thought they would be good. I didn't think they'd be quite this good. What has taken off from this group that you've seen?
I'm gonna go back to the guys that don't necessarily roll off the tongue. When Jimmy has been gone due to injury or illness, when Bam had the surgery on his thumb, Kyle's been away for personal reasons, doing the things that you're supposed to do with family. And these guys, Martin, Vincent, Struess,
it's crazy,
have all stepped up while Tyler's taken this. I don't know what kind of leap you want to call it, man. I'm not even going to sit here and try to create some awesome analogy. When you look at Tyler against every other person that's considered a reserve, and listen, he plays starters minutes, but you can only start five people. I believe that's a rule.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. So like everybody's saying he's like the sixth starter. I'm like, no, okay, you can say that, but there's no such thing. But he gets minutes as though he's a starter. What he's been able to do to advance his game offensively has as much to do with the work that you do as a young player, getting shots up, as it is with his body. Like, just allowing him to do and be, do what he wants on the floor where he wants at any point. But here's the thing with Tyler's offensive game now that's moved it to the place where as long as you have him, you can sustain a guy or two being out because he can just let it rip is there's not a place he needs to be. He can score from everywhere.
Yeah.
And now he can get anywhere.
Right.
And you can't just shove him around when he's trying to roll around. So it's he can do it with the ball, he can do it without the ball, and he can get anywhere. Guard that. I mean, it's a whole different layer of where you go. And we've been disciplined in understanding that third year, if you're going to be somebody, that third year lets us know, right?
Yeah.
And so I would be amazed. It's not going to happen this year. And who knows what the best path is. That's what Spo gets all that dough for. But man, if he was in the first five and right. was unleashed for like 35, 38 minutes.
Yeah.
This dude's, you know, 25 to 30 a game. And I say that without any hesitation. So it's there's just listen, I'm laden with Spoism, so I apologize. But the man looks you in the eye every night. You got three starters down, you're on the road, it's second night of a back to back. KD's coming back for the first time in 21 games. He'll look you square in the face after losing, by the way, by 1 point. After turnover after turnover after turnover against the champs at their place. And the next night, look you in the face and say, no, we got enough. Right. And be right. Well, I guess there was enough. There was exactly that. As the Let's Go Heat chants start raining down in Barclays. By the way, that happened the other night in the Garden. And it's happened before, and it's just uncomfortable. Like I love, you know, what that Big Three era did for the Heat brand. It just globalized it, and not just around the NBA, but when we've gone on these international trips, just what Dwayne, LeBron, and Chris did to elevate what Dwayne and Shaq started, you know, a half decade earlier, was just through the roof from a popularity and recognition standpoint. So I'm not surprised when, you know, you're in Portland or out in Utah and there's Heat jerseys everywhere, but there's just something about that late 90s, early 2000s thing that you just don't feel like you can take over Mecca or the world's most famous arena, but this team got it in that position, in that building on a comeback victory, man. And Let's Go Heat chants in the Garden. Make sure you clutch your own pearls if you wear such things.
You know, Jax, our guy, Zach Harper, is constantly talking about Heat culture, Heat culture, Heat culture. It's all here all the time. You know what's cold-blooded, though? The reward for Heat culture this year just might be the Brooklyn Nets in the first round.
Marcus, you ain't right. I was thinking about the same thing.
I mean, that's kind of cold-blooded, though. But, you know, the Heat is just a franchise that it's like, yo, we don't care the seed. We've seen them as an 8 seed. We've seen them as a 4. You would just think that's if any franchise doesn't care about the seed, it's like, man, get us in the playoffs. But does seeding matter this year? Does it? Is this something they're watching and paying attention to because there is this giant lurking down there at the bottom?
Yeah, it's funny. I was telling everybody in Brooklyn like that nobody is fooling me. Like, I'm like, I see what you all are doing. This is not lost on anybody. You all creeping around here. The first round could be carnage for more than just who gets Brooklyn, right? Like, it just depends on who's playing, how, at what time. But even the teams are going to have to battle 7 through 10. Whoever emerges from that space for the 1 and 2 seed, plus all the other matchups, it's not just that typical, oh, yeah, tip of the cap. Glad you enjoyed your first round trip and 1, 2, 3 Cancun. It's literally, I said this the other day, and I'll tell you all now. I would not be surprised if every single matchup in the first round in the Eastern Conference went to 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, that's what is in front of us.
Somebody's getting Cleveland in the first round too as a 6 or 7, and somebody's getting Toronto as a 6 or 7 in the first round.
And you know what's going to happen, David? More than anything else,
whole and healthy, right? Like that's what those teams are probably end up being.
Ooh, Atlanta too. Wow, could be Atlanta. They're down there. I still wouldn't want
to
see
them. Just sneaking around, trying to figure out like who and what they are, and will they reemerge to the type of excellence that they showed, speaking specifically of the Hawks, all the way to the conference finals last year. It's an interesting thing what you learn the deeper you go in the playoffs, right? Like over the years, you start to realize exactly what you were laying down. Yeah, it'd be really nice to have that last game, that if a game seven was needed on your floor, but there's also this thing about not letting it get to that, you know, in a series if you can control it. So
that
first round in the Eastern Conference, the word that keeps coming to my mind is carnage. Like there will be teams that worked really hard to win, you know, high 40s.
There will be to blood.
Mid 50s as it pertains to games, and they are going to be out, gone.
Right. What was my man's name? Daniel Plainview. There will be blood.
There will be blood. Exactly. Daniel Day Lewis. Right.
Right.
Wasn't it the Rose Quarter?
I can hear you.
Enjoy your lunch, Daniel.
Yeah. No question. So how did Oladipo look to you, and what's the role for him, Jax?
I'll answer backwards. Spo has nailed it down that, you know, that there is no like ramping up to like the first five. It is the role is going to be off the bench. And let's talk about that 1-2 punch now, right? Off the bench. It's Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo. Like just tell me about how many teams have that in their second group. Right. Let's just go low in with Oladipo and say because of the time, right. There just comes a point where we're just talking about time that it's, let's just say 15 points. It's probably the high end because of, I mean, how far can Spoke get it? 20, 25 minutes, maybe. And right now it's going to be 15 for a while.
Yeah.
And that's by the way, going like really 8-man rotation, and he's at 9 now. And then we see what Tyler's been doing since All-Star, which is more like 26 a game. And all season, it's been 20 a game. Back to Oladipo and his impact. What were the first two plays? Heat culture mind explosion. Two charges taken.
Yeah.
First two plays that the man made. And then it's a 3-ball right corner. Then it's a curl into the paint throwdown with not even like Bam – like leaning into the screen, right?
Yeah.
Just comes up to the elbow, gives him a little nudge, and that's enough for Oladipo to curl around and get into the paint and throw it down. Listen, the beautiful thing about what Victor's job is for this team, it's just to fit in.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have to overthink it. He doesn't have to overproduce it. Number four. Oh, that's me. We'll go in here, create some havoc defensively, and be opportunistic on the offensive end and just fit in, because there's a lot of let Tyler get busy, right? There's a lot of let's let Jimmy get downhill. Yeah. I mean, Kyle Lowry took 3 shots last night. He's been gone for a week, but 3 shots, 5 assists, handful of rebounds, down by 13, win by 20. And listen, the Rockets aren't the best, you know, litmus test there.
Right.
But come on, man. I mean, it's not every night a team's flipping a game by almost 40 points, you know.
No disrespect to Victor Oladipo. He's a fine player who I'm sure will have a fine season. But the dynamic duo off the bench is Hero and Yurt Seven. I'm sorry. That's the duo that nobody has. Now, if you want to make it a trio with Oladipo,
Dwayne Dedman's got those minutes in front of Yurt Seven right now.
Give me that big Yurt.
It's only a matter of time. Yurt Seven is a starting center in this league. That dude is good. I love that dude.
No, he's good. He's good. So, Jax, last year they Milwaukee handled him.
Yeah.
Why are they different this year? What will be different this year?
It's kind of the same thing that fueled Milwaukee, right? Like, there's a thing about getting just, you know, the right hand across the backhand side, right? Across the face, man. And Milwaukee didn't like it. And then now the Heat don't like it.
And and so when push comes to fuck, actually, I'll go further back. I'll go to 2020. In the end, I'm taking nothing from the Lakers, literally nothing. All right. But examine what happened to the Heat when it got a little nip and tucky, right? When it got to nip and tuck time, no Bam, no Goran. And Jimmy's out there making iconic photos after 40 game triple doubles, right? 40 point led triple doubles. I think the most important thing for this team is its depth. And even though there's some hard conversations and hard decisions being made now, because a lot of that depth that got the Heat to where they are in the first 66 games, now will you have some DMP CDs right behind their name for probably the duration of this regular season, and just have to be ready for whatever the team needs in the second season. But that's the thing. If somebody's ankle, is it where it ought to be? Or somebody's wrist, you know, is in havoc. Is the person you're calling on ready? And can they really do something, or are they just running up and down the floor? And now the Heat are in position where they know damn near 12, David. 12 players can go out there and impact things in a way that don't have a massive drop-off from the person they're understudy to. I think that's the main difference. And then the other thing is, I think this defense is cranked up into a whole nother space. Listen, Jimmy will take risks that'll make most coaches' heads explode, but he does it in a way that works for this team because his teammates are cool with it, and they got his back when he's gonna go try to get a deflection or a steal and turn it into what the Heat referred to in its mixed metaphor as a pick six. And so it's really, really at times smothering, and you're trying to figure something out, right? You've watched your tape. Playoff series will be different. But then what do they have? They got their little knuckle curveball every single time. They'll start at the moment you don't expect it. Here comes the zone. And what is the human nature about busting the zone, right?
Yeah.
You just start going to the edges and doing stuff you usually don't do.
I would love to see them in Boston get down in the second round. I think that would be like orgasmic.
I want Heat basketball. Nets. I just don't want.
Why
it
do you need
round.
A wet nap all of a sudden for this matchup? listen,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, listen, there are a couple teams. Boston has been one. Cleveland has been the other, where it's like, oh, you know, every team's got one, right? Or you're like, why can't they get this figured out? But it's those two teams are the ones. I know they're sexier choices, but I keep looking at those teams. I'm like, okay, we might want to figure out have some regular season success here. and that's the thing, that Heat have been dominant at home, right? Like it's like 7 losses in 29 games at home. And above average on the road, like really, I mean, almost good to excellence on the road. But they are like these singular matchups that have been interesting. And I don't have a really good reason. Like the Cleveland thing, I think is like, I don't know if we give Coach Bickerstaff enough credit and the organization enough credit for not freaking out and letting it grow in front of, you know, in front of their eyes. And remember, there's still more, right? Like that's, you know, maybe not this year, but like Sexton was rolling before he got hurt. He gets hurt. You learn more about what Garland could do. You realize Mobley's ready for all of this, that Love is finding, you know, I live a block from Ponce de Leon. He actually found the man. there is a defensive togetherness and their length and size and, you know, hell, I didn't even say Jared Allen's name, and I needed to, like, in the first breath, right? It's amazing what they have. And they listen, all teams go through a thing, and you know, timing is everything when you go through it. So
their ability to get up as high as three and down into playing is just kind of the way the East works for any team. Chicago's feeling it now, having lost four straight as we tape. That's not a team that, along with Boston, that anybody would look down their nose at as a challenge.
You know who it feels like? Just looking at the way he came back after being out for so long, it feels like Bam is ready. It feels like Bam is a guy. Like, we've talked about Tyler taking that another level. I still think Bam has another level, especially in the postseason. Like, what have you seen from him, especially since he's been back? And he's a matchup nightmare already, but with the development of his shot, man, it just feels like he's onto something.
He had, and I don't know if he would agree, but it's just my assessment that the one breakthrough Bam needed in this year was still being able to come up big against bigger fives, like, you know, the Jokic's and that type of large Embiid, like the just the super skilled large big man, not just the lumbering, I'll block your shot and grab a bunch of rebounds, dude. But the guy that can do everything, because Bam does everything on both ends of the floor for this team. And I don't think people realize how much offensive trigger orchestration initiation comes from Adebayo in the offense. And if you ever get Duncan Robinson on, you want to hear some inspirational gospel music about how important somebody is to your offensive life. It would be, you know, Bam for Duncan and so many others. He's mastered the dribble handoff in a time, and you guys have probably seen this, more offensive fouls are being called on the handoff.
Yes.
Because the screener handoffer, which I don't think is a word, is oftentimes on the move.
And sticking his butt out.
Handoff is
occurring. That's the little sneaky move, sticking your butt out.
Like my... That's what my man Jay Michael. Jay Michael always says, you can't set no ass screen.
That is not legal.
Ass screen is not legal.
That almost sounds like some sort of ointment. Ass screen brought right? to you by Minute.
My butt is burned. I got my butt a burned screen. In the sun. Huh?
Get a tube of a screen right now.
When you've been screening too much. Get ass screen.
And no, I mean... The layer of it is, Marcus, the man can just score, but he has so many other responsibilities. Balancing that element of it on any given night is probably like fourth on his list of things to do, but he can do it. And so now is there an internal, like just an internal struggle? Is there a just ego-driven desire, like he's allowed to be ambitious, right, and take on, you know, what you would want on your resume if you're going to be all-star, all-NBA consideration all the time, right? This year he got hampered by injury, which hit his, you know, games played scenario. And will that end up being a part of him falling short of defensive player of the year when he should have a full consideration by all voters for that spot? He makes plays each night, guys, and I'll go off on this tributary because I think this is as important to his full dossier as the offensive end of the floor. There are plays where he is legit, like the legit on-ball defender for a one who is trying to run, bless his heart, a wonderful screen and roll, but you know, there's, you know, the roll sometimes doesn't have its screen, right? It's just the big diamond, right? Because he doesn't have Bam on him. The other night and many nights, Bam is like entirely causing for the ball handler to throw an ill-advised lob because you just got to get it up and over. So he's just deterring the drive and forcing the lob, and then we'll recover and go either block or disrupt or deflect the actual lob.
Right.
Himself on the same play. Like it defies what most people are willing to do. How about like that? It's not even about ability. It's, I did my job over here. Right. So somebody help me out back there.
right?
Sounds like me, man. At 24-hour fitness. That's how I get down, Jax.
You know, just doing it, getting another rep in. Got to get some more reps in. I got you. Getting another set. One more set. Big man, one more set. Back up. All right, Jax. I won't let you go because I don't want no John Laws pulling over seeing the black man in a nice ride.
No, I'm good. I'm definitely illegal as it pertains to tents. So no one really knows what's happening here. Although you did hear that train rustle by, didn't you? I mean, that thing was.
All right, but this is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. None of us from out of town been on South Beach in a minute because your team hasn't been good enough for a minute.
You're not going to do that to me. Okay, when you could have been here a couple of seasons ago, everybody had to go to Orlando. So nor is it accurate.
I want plans for dinners and places we can go. The new joints on South Beach, the new joints on Brickell. Where do we have to go if we're going to spend multiple nights in the Yam in the early summer, late spring?
Now, let me first say to you that I'm out of the loop.
You're out. You're done.
I am old, and I am.
Hey, I'm not falling for this banana in the tailpipe. Come on.
No, brother. Listen to me.
I'm full.
I spent my 20s and 30s and 40s doing it. As the kids say, what's their new line now? I did the most. I did the most for about 30 years, and I marveled at this with Mama Jacks the other day. When I came home and I did not reek of bourbon or cigar smell. What has happened to me? where's my desire for adventure and intrigue and not making a lot of noise at 3:30 in the morning when I try to get in this house without a whole lot of conversation?
I just don't want to give Miles more of my money at Prime 12. He has built a wing on his house.
Yeah, man.
With my Prime 112 money. Prime? No.
Yeah.
No,
you built that one.
And my question is, if you out the game, how do you know about Prime Private?
Well, I mean, I read. When your friends are glorious scribes like you all, I rise reading and I go to sleep reading. So,
Prime Private.
Yeah, that's a new thing. So yeah, so that was the thing. Like, you create such a brand for anyone that's been at all to, like, legitimate South Beach, not like Miami Gardens, okay, and calling it South Beach.
Right.
But you've actually been to Ocean Drive between, correct, you know, 15th and 5th. And now here's the thing. South of 5th is sneaky, like a sneaky local knowledge, right? Like, I understand, like, Washington between 4th and 5th, I think, is Joe's. But other than that, Joe Stone Crab. But other than that, like, people don't get deep down in there, right? There's
the crevices.
What's down there? Like, the Stanton Hotel and Nikki Beach.
Yeah.
And so that's where Prime Private is, like, ocean and first. And what I think was happening, because there's Prime Italian and Prime 112 and... isn't there a prime fish? Isn't there a fish? I think there's a prime fish. Prime chitlins. Like, I think they got a soul food joint. Prime collards.
Prime hog mug.
Come on now. Come on. Prime neck bone.
Bring it.
Yeah, that would be offensive. Like, it would be like, and we still yams. Go. Still go.
We go. Of course we go.
Miles, how dare you?
That'll be $600, please.
Is that mac and cheese baked? It better be. Smack it. So, anyway, I'll give you one on Brickell. Have you been to Komodo?
Komodo? Like the dragon?
Like the dragon. And let's take it even further. There are actually Komodo dragon nests as tables. And for people that get into such nature things, Komodos nest in the trees. All right. So, they climb up in the tree and then they create their nest. So there are, like, these nests on the second floor that I've yet to partake a morsel of food in. I'm waiting for a moment, like you two gentlemen swinging in and making it happen.
You don't have to actually eat Komodo dragon, though.
No, no, I don't think that would be illegal.
I was wondering. It sounded a little dangerous, actually. Like,
I can, you know what?
Are they there?
You can't eat down here anymore. So apparently, iguanas taste like chicken. I have not found that out.
I don't know why. I just imagine those nests hatching and then we all dying. Like.
Like, it's like it would be like Jurassic Park.
It's like, hey, just,
okay, well, they're not actually
look at the nest up there.
In the nest. There's just tables in the nest, and they look like the Komodo dragon. So we'll give you that on Brickle. I really don't cross the causeway without
stay on your side now.
Without request, which is like I'm gonna sit here and like have to tell all myself I did join Soho Beach House. Like I did do that.
Oh,
your boy Spears, man, made me feel
man,
all
you have quite the way of being
Spears
out of the game.
Is Spears a paying member of Soho Beach House?
He is not, but that little library out in Frisco, okay.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, you get kind of house access as you move around the country if you pay that price point, which, you know, I'm not getting in other people's pockets, so I'm going to stop right there.
Man, I'm just saying your lack of you said you were what's the term doing too much. You're doing too little. Sounds like a lot to me. It sounds pretty lit already.
That's the 786, man. Baby.
Man. I'm cool with it. Listen, just a little bourbon and a cigar and a balcony, and I'm good.
There you go. I'm
good.
Jason Jackson, I love you. I love you, my brother. And thank you for your time.
I wish there was a word that Trump loved, because that's how I feel about you.
We'll see you in June, buddy.
Yes, sir. I am not mad about it. I'm not mad about it at all. As long as Miami and anywhere in the state of Cali, I'm good. I'm good.
You take Phoenix, too.
You know? I would take Phoenix. Although Phoenix is 7,100 degrees in June.
In the air conditioning, it's not.
That's true. All right, y'all. Thank you for listening to this fine, fine American podcast. Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this thing. And Marcus, if it's less than 5 stars, what do these people need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters.
You Komodo dragon eaters. Later.
Because I told him I didn't want to get a certain vehicle because of the amount of gas I would have to spend. It cost like $80
to fill it up.
And he said, then you said,
when it gets to half, then you put $20, you bring it back a full.
But if I keep doing, I would have to stop off and spend
$80. No, you wouldn't.
Why?
You're complaining about when it gets to zero, you spend $80, right? When it gets to half, you put $20. Then when it gets back to half, you put $20.
Yeah, but when I keep stopping, put $20 in it, it'll be cool. $80, the same amount of gas. I'm driving the same amount of gas.
The average human stops once a week for gas, right? With you, you only work here twice. You would probably have to stop maybe once every 2 weeks. Don't even try.